Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Kachelo and we are now on Masachat Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Aleph Amabed at the top of the Amud. Continuing on with our discussion of an Avodah Zarah that is broken, a piece of Avodah Zarah, Itmar. Avodat Kochav Mishni Shtabra Me'eleha. If you find Avodah Zarah, a piece of an idol that broke on its own, the Buddha fell over and broke. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asurah, it's still Asur, B'shemun Lekish Amar Muteret. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asurah, Dahalo Bidla. Nobody actually rejected it or negated it. It just fell over, B'shemun Lekish Amar Muteret. Why? Mistama Betuli Mavtila. We assume that the guy, the devotee, is going to give up on it. Meimar, my reasoning as follows. E Nafshalo Atzlat, this thing couldn't save itself. Lahu Gavra Matzla, he's going to save me. So Eit Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish, from the story of the Aron in the Plishti temple, when it was put in front of Dagon, and the first day Dagon was bowing in front of it, and the next day Dagon's head and arms were cut off. V'rosh Dagon u'shtei chavot yadav kutot el hamiftan, and they were lying on the lintel. Al-kein lo yiduchu kohani Dagon. As a result of that, the priests of Dagon would refuse to step on the lintel, because the lintel was now holy. So you see that they continue to worship Dagon even though it fell over. Amarla Misham Rayas, which Lakish's answer is, Hatam Shachin Tadagon, Mavdin Tamiftan. They stopped worshiping Dagon, they started worshiping the lintel. Why? Tamrihach, Ishavke Isarida Dagon, the spirit must have left Dagon, Fa'ata Etiv Le'al Miftan, and inhabited the lintel. That's how they reasoned. Okay? Etive. So here we have a series of challenges to Reish Lakish. Hamotseshi Reish Tlamim, our Mishnah, Hare Elu Mutarin. You're allowed to use them. What's the implication? But if you found a piece of broken idol, asurin. So he says, no, your inference is wrong. The implication is not that broken avodah zarah is asur, but the implication is complete statues are asur. Stamak Rameir, and it's Rameir's Mishnah that we saw in the first Mishnah, who said that a tselem is assumed to be asur, and so a broken one is not. Rabbi Yochanan, now let's turn the tables on him. From what we hear about Rabbi Meir, let's read a parallel on the Rabbanan. Rabbi Meir, after all, said that the statues themselves are asur, but a broken statue was mutar. So now, parallel that with Rabbanan. After all, Rabbanan agreed that the idols are asur, so it must be that the broken idols mutar. So the answer is hachiyashta. Those aren't. It's really not a fair comparison. Hatam emar avadum emar lo avadum. In the case of the statue, they may have been worshipped, may not have been worshipped. Rameir is choshes to miuta. V'imtim slom avadum. And even if they worshipped him, emar badlum. Maybe they rejected it. Now that it's broken, but avodat kochavim vaday avdu. If it's an idol, we know it was worshipped. Miyemar debatla. Who says that the guy rejected it? It fell over on its own. So in other words, have a safek uvaday. Meaning we have a safek whether he cancelled it, but a vadai that it had been worshipped. Vain safek motzimi de vadai. And you cannot have a safek trump a vadai. Is that really true? Vain safek motzimi de vadai. Matan yechaver shemit v'neach b'goram le'a perot. Hafilu hen b'nei yoman, arayin b'chazkat metukanin. If you have a chaver, one of the collegium, who died and left some fruit, even if they were purchased or harvested that day, we assume that they're mitukan from Asrot. Here we have a case where vadai there were tevel, safek asrinu, safek lo asrinu, and maybe he took Masrot, maybe he didn't take Masrot. And the ka'ati safek motzimi de vadai, here the safek that he might have taken Masrot trumps the vadai that there were tevel. The answer is one of two ways to go. Hatam vadai o vadai hu. First of all, you could say it's not a safek. Again, I give vadai, it's vadai. The vadai asrinu, he certainly took masrot, could Rabbi Chanina choza. So Rabbi Chanina choza, chazak al chaver, she'in me'inu motzi midavar, she'inu metukan, mitachat yado. A chaver will never have anything be in his possession that's not metukan, which means the minute he got it, the wording is a little bit misleading, in a motzi midavar, but a chaver will never have anything in his possession that's not metukan. So therefore, the minute he got it, he fixed it. The other possibility is safek v'safeku, that even if you want to say that we don't know that the chaver took masrot, we also don't know it was ever tevel. Why? Perhaps he did like Rabbi Shaya's advice. You could bring a tefuah into your house with the chaff around it. right? Kadei shetei mem to ochel p'tura min ha-maser. And that way, there's never a chiyuv ma'asrot. So you're not going to do that for yourself, you do that for your animal, because you're not going to eat bran, but not or chaff, but nonetheless, it is a way to do it. So if it could be that the chaver brought it into his house in such a way that it never was chayav. And since that's a safek, that's safek meneged safek. And something we'll see today. Vaday, is that really true that a safek doesn't trump a vaday? Matanya, Rabbi Yehuda Maaseh b'shifchato shel matzik echad. There was a tough guy. He had a shifcha in the town of Rimon. Shetil nefel labor. She miscarried. Evidently, she was embarrassed about it, and so she went and put the baby, the dead baby, into a pit and to dispose of it. But somebody saw it. So what happened? Kohen came and looked into the pit to see if the baby was Zachar Nekeva, to know how long she'd have Yimei Tuma and Yimei Tahara, 7 and 33 or 14 and 66. Chachamim v'tiaru, and the Chachamim said the Kohen is Tahor, even though he was still over this pit where there was a dead baby. There are rats and there are animals, cheetahs, whatever that are there that possibly drag the body away. Now, according to the story, she certainly threw the baby in. It's a fake garu, it's a fake little garu. Maybe the animals pulled it away, and maybe not. And we're relying on the safek and saying, since animals may have pulled it away, then even though vadai there was a baby in there, the coin is tahor. So the answer is that either we're going to do exactly what we just did on the previous amud, don't say that that she certainly put a nephel in. Ela ema hitila kami nephel abor. Somebody saw her throw something in that might have been a nephel. So we don't even know there was a nephel there. V'hali dan zachar mekevahu the katani. But the brayta says the kohen went to see if it was a boy or a girl. So that means we start with an assumption that it was a baby. Achikamar, this is what it said. Leidaim ruach hipila nephel hipila. First thing is the kohen went to see if it was a baby at all or just something else. Even if it was a baby, leidam zachar nekeva, to know if it's zachar nekeva. Good, so that would be a safek versus safek. The other possibility is, this is like we said about the chaver, since the wild animals are there, vadai groru, it's not a safek, they certainly pulled it away, and therefore the kohen was tahor. Okay, eight of it. In our Mishnah, we said that if you find the piece of a statue that has a hand or foot, it's still asur. This is something that people worship. Amai, hashvarim ninu, they're broken. So how take Shmuel? We already saw an answer to that. Shmuel said, we had another previous amud at the very top, that he said that's when they're standing on a pedestal. Okay, Eitave. Oved kochavim mevatel avodat kochavim shelo v'shel chaviro. A non-Jew is able to be mevatel, to reject and negate an avodah zarah, his own or of somebody else's. Israel ain't mevatel avodat kochavim shelo v'shel kochavim. But a Jew doesn't have that ability. Amai, why not? Tehave kavodat kochavim shenishtabra me'eleha. Why don't we just regard it as avodah zarah that fell on its own? In other words, according to Rish Lakish, if avodah zarah falls by itself, it's mutar. So if a Jew breaks it, it should certainly be no worse than that. So Amar Baye Shepachsa. Baye says we're talking about a case where the Jew just sort of mushed it, but didn't really take anything away from it. Who cares? None. Later on in the next parak, we see Pachsa Fapisha Lo Chisra B'Telat. If somebody mushes an idol, even though nothing's taken away from it, it's still batel because that's an act of degradation and of rejection. So the answer is yeah, sure, if that's if a goy does it. But if a Jew does it, then it's not batel. That's a bias take. Rav Amar, pay close attention, because this piece of rubber is going to take us for quite a while. The olam ki pachsai Yisrael nami batla. Truth is, even if a Jew mashes the idol or mushes it down, it's batel. Alexeira dilma magbalav hadam vatala. The Rabbanan said that any time that the Jew physically tries to cancel out or negate an avodah zarah, it doesn't work as a gzeira against the case where he may pick it up. And then, in order to cancel it, and then it becomes avodah zarah in the hands of Yisrael. Once a Jew has it in his hands, it's never batel forever. Never, never batel. So to protect against that, Rabbanan said that if a Jew physically tries to effect bitul, it doesn't work. Now, Etave, watch this challenge to Resh Lakish, Akum Shevi Avanim in Amarkul Izchiv Alehen Drachim. Let's say an Akum took some of the rocks that were laid in front of Mercury, and then he used it to pave a road. So Mutarot, you're allowed to walk there. But if a Jew does it, they're asur. Why not, according to Resh Lakish, say it's no worse than Avodah Zarah that fell apart? So the same answer as Rava gave before. We'll apply it again. Which is really it is batel, but midor banan, we don't allow it. If a goy trimmed an avodah zarah for his own purposes, like he wanted the trimmings, he v'shipuya mutarin. Then both the trimmings and the avodah zarah are now mutar because he was mevatel and he's using it for himself. Litzorka, if he was doing it for the purpose of beautifying the avodah zarah, he asura v'shipuya mutarin. The avodah zarah is still asur, but the trimming that he trims off is mutar. Israel, trimming or buffing or shaving or whatever it might be. Israel, but if a Jew did it, both the trimmings and the avodah zarah are still asur. Amai again. Why don't we consider it at least like avodah zarah that fell apart by itself? The answer is achanamik and Rava, the same thing as Rava said, which means Resh Lakish is protected, and we'll say that Resh Lakish, his position, which is that if avodah zarah falls apart by itself, it is batel, it's mutar. That applies in a case where a Jew didn't have a hand in it, and therefore this particular concern and gezerah doesn't apply. Okay, etive. Now one more challenge. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shochek v'zorel u'racham atilayam. In the next Mishnah, which is the second half of Mishnah Gimel. A little further on, but which is the second half of Mishnah Gimel, which we'll see. Rabbi Yossi says that you take avodah zarah. What you do is you grind it up and throw it in the air, or you throw it in the water. Amrulo, the Rabbana rejected it and said, Afina asar zevel. Then it becomes recycled, it becomes a fertilizer or some sort of nutrients. You can't keep anything of avodah zarah. Now, Amai, certainly when you grind up avodah zarah and throw it in the air, that should be no worse than avodah zarah that fell over by itself. So Achanami Ken Rava, again, we're going to go back to Rava and say, that's the same deal, that once a Jew touches it, there's the Gzeira that he may pick it up and hold it, even though he's trying to be Mevatel it, and then it's never Batel. In other words, again, Rabbi Shlakish could still hold his position, that if it falls apart by itself, it would be Mutar. Eitir Rabbi Yossi ben Yassian Umer Matzat Surat Darkon. If he found a dragon on a coin or on a kli, and the head was cut off, we don't know if a Jew or non-Jew did the cutting, meaning the vatel it mutar. But if you know a Jew did it, asur. So the answer is achanami k'derava. That's the last time we're going to invoke Rava in this series. Same problem. Now, etiv Rabbi Yossi Omer, im af lo yirakot b'motag shavim. In a later Mishnah, we'll see, towards the end of the parak, that when you have an Asherah tree, you can, according to the Tanakhama, you can grow things under it in the winter, but not in the summer. In the summer, because it benefits from the shade. Rabbi Yossi says you can't even do it in the winter, because things that fall out of the tree, the leaves, pine cone, pine needles, or whatever it might be, falls on the vegetables and helps them grow. Why don't we consider that like a avodah zarah that fell apart by itself? The answer is Shani Hatam, the ikra avodah kochavim kayemet, because there the essential idol is still standing. But when you shave or trim the idol, as we saw earlier, if you're doing it for the idol itself, the trimmings are mutter. Right here you're saying that the pine cones or the needles or whatever it is are asur. I can't be batel if it's just behaving the way it normally grows. A tree grows, it sheds stuff. So over the course of a year, it's going to have leaves fall, then the new leaves sprout, and everything else, and that can never be betel. As opposed to when the human intervention of shaving it, or cutting it, or buffing it, or whatever. Now, up until now, all the challenges, for the most part, have been against Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now, Rabbi Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan. Kan, or Kain, Shibrosha Ilan Shalekdish, you have a nest that's on the top of a Hektish tree. Lo Neni V'lo Mu'ali. You're not allowed to get hana'ah from it, but if you do, you're not chayv mi'ila. There's always a signal that the issue is draw bottom. Roshan shel asherah, but if it's on top of an asherah tree, yatiz bekaneh, you knock it out with a stick, which means you're allowed to get benefit from it. Now, kasag, and that seems to prove that a avodah zarah that falls apart by itself, and here you've knocked it out, is mutter. Kasag kadai tachnot she brah mimena weitzim kitabahen. We assume that the bird broke off some of the trees, some of the wood from this tree, and made a nest. Uktani yatiz bekaneh, you're allowed to use it. Now the answer is that the bird brought wood from somewhere else, and that's where it made the nest from. That's why. So they can hektesh, and we can prove it because in the parallel case of hektesh says lo nenin v'lo moalin. You're not allowed to get hanah, but there's no meila. If you agree that the tree, the wood is from another tree, hanuktani gabi hektesh. That's why it says that. There's no me'ila. Because this wood is from another tree, and therefore it's not really hektish. It's not nice, so there's no me'ila. There's no hanoa derabanan. If you think that it actually took wood from the tree itself and made a nest, there should be absolute me'ila. After all, the bird took wood from a hektish tree. It must be from another tree. The answer, HaKadosh. And the answer is, now, Midiary, who said, HaChabigun, HaBayim Lachar Mikanaskinan, could be your Makdish, the tree, and then the wood that grew afterwards. Because Savra, in Me'ila, we can do later. That's a machloket. We'll see in Me'ila whether or not Me'ila applies to things that you're Makdish, and then it grew later, or gave birth later, or whatever. Rabbi Yochanan says, my Yatiz, he has a different answer. You know what it says, Yatiz Bekaneh? It means Yatiz Befruchin, you're allowed to knock the chicks out of there. The nest is Usser. But you're allowed to knock the chicks out of there. That's Rabbi Yochanan the Shitato. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Tachlifa Asperlach, I'll explain to you. Befrochin kan v'chan mutarin, meaning chicks, whether it's in the Asherah tree or the Hektish tree, they're mutar. They don't need the nest. Beitzim, the eggs, kan v'chan asur, in both cases are asur. Rashi, befrochin stuchin le'iman, kebeitzim damu. Chicks that still need their mother, they're like eggs. Because they need the nest, and therefore therefore without the nest, they can't get along, and therefore it's asur, both in the case of the Hektish tree and the Asherah tree, and that supports, of course, Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast at the next Mishnah, which is the beginning of Mishnah Gimel in the third parak. And in the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.